Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, speaking to you live from Washington, D.C., along with my co-host,
Abdul Aziz Shaheed, and Assalamu alaikum and greetings.
Alaikum salam, Brother Aziz. How are you this evening?
Oh, good, good, Brother Bilal. Everything's good. Everything's lovely. Looking forward to a good show tonight.
Yeah. Look forward to a good business conversation this evening. Of course, Brother Aziz, you know this is open mic.
Yes.
So this is a wonderful night for anyone who is in business or contemplate going into business or have a good business idea. A good time to come forward. Because that's the type of discussion we like to have this evening. Network marketing and business identification. You know, that's what we've always been about. And I look forward to a discussion. You know, Brother Aziz, one of the things since you and I have been coming on the show in this our seventh year, of coming on.
Yes.
Have you noticed the stimulation in businesses, African-American businesses and businesses activities that's going on around the country?
Yes.
And,
yes, I've seen some.
You definitely have seen, I think I've seen a stimulation in our business grow. And not that it's a major growth, but there is a good business interest going on in our communities, and I feel real good about it because and Brother Isaiah, feel free. I know normally you and I take. And wait for you to, but no, I want you to start off right with me this evening and interject and come right in anytime you want to. And we're going to offer that also to all of our listeners this evening. This is not a where I am putting on a presentation. No, anyone who's, matter of fact, I'm opening mics whether I see. As calls come in. So anyone who can hear me, we'll certainly be able to hear them. And we ask that they can share in their opinions and ideas. So I would ask you to just share right in as you will, but like I said, I have seen and I am encouraged. And also, Brother Aziz, the play that went on in Milford, Delaware.
Yes, sir, bro.
Huge success.
Fantastic.
Sold out.
Great.
And, you know, I'm so excited about that because I'm almost sure that's the first time when, because the a theater that they had the play in was owned by some relatives of mine in Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay,
so Black
the theater Coach itself.
The theater, the owner of the theater itself.
Okay.
And so it was African Americans doing business with African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping it all in the family.
That.
And see, that's the type of entertainment, because we are very sociable in our communities.
Yes.
And sociable entertainment, especially where you can give real class entertainment. is certainly needed in our communities because we spend so much money outside of our communities.
Too much.
Yeah. So again, that was very encouraging. But it was a good thing to see African Americans, especially in such a small community.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the example of what needs to be built in all of our communities, is where we have entertainment and production that can carry on from place to place. You know,
right?
From place to place. So this is what this networking, marketing with each other. That's what it's all about. I was very encouraged, like I said, from seeing that type of business activity.
The interview they gave us was nice, you know, nice interview they gave us when they came on and let us know something what they were about, you know.
Yeah.
And that was really good. Are they're gonna be moving around the country that you know of?
Well, again, that's what I would certainly hope so. I think it's just a matter of them being able to be invited and promoted. But I think that's
right.
There's no reason why, and I think right here through our organizations, because it was a quality play, very, very, very beautiful play. I wasn't there, but I know like my family was there, and they told me I've gotten several. I mean, first class remarks on how wonderful that play was. So I look for.
Well, you know, we have someone in our network, Bilal. You know them. They're you're some of your kinfolk on the marriage side, and that's the Mukmin.
Oh, and Adela, as a matter of fact, I spoke to. Brother Abraham about this play, and he's excited. He wanted me, as soon as I got back in town, to give him as much as
alhamdulillah.
So he could be in touch with this group. And see where we go from there, but. Yes, I've already informed them about the
great
talent of that group and the play that they put on. Even though the weather was a little tough, the show. I'm saying it. They did for my because I wasn't able to go because it was flooding here in D.C. I was go because of the bad weather. But the those who went, they're telling me about the value. Tim, that show was 5 hours long. I mean, of course, I think they had intermission break.
Mm-hmm.
But, That was pretty good performance to go for 5 hours.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what I mean about it. But like I said, black on black business is doing business because the folks who own the building was African Americans, relatives of mine. And of course, they was able to rent the building out for such a... And I think they had a capacity of 350, and that was the That was the capacity of Sutton, and it was sold out. So, again, if it could happen in a small African-American town, such as Milford, Delaware, see, that's the type of business interaction that can go on in our communities all over. But we have to be able to own something in order to be able to promote it or be able to service it out. Because if not, then our vendors, in this case, and we got all kinds of talent in our communities. And that talent, the monies from those talents needs to stay in the community. So we need to have good entertainment places where that talent can be able to afford to stay in the community. But that was a wonderful, that play I thought was wonderful. And I like to see it move. And those who would like to have such a valuable play in your community, of course, you can contact the New Africa Business Association. We will have them to come back on and have them to talk about some of the some of their plans. But the play itself, oh man, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. So, but again,
yeah, it would.
I'm sorry, brother. Go right ahead.
Oh no, I was gonna say it would be good if they had also made a movie of the play, like, you know, I'm sure they probably would be doing that. And I mean, what I mean by making a movie, you know, do a video recording of the whole show.
Again, maybe when we bring them back on, you know, that's something that, you know, you might want to ask and see if that's something that can be done. But it would be nice if you could see. But, you know, I'm sure, you know, I'm certain that they have a copy of that. So we have to look into that and see if there's a way we can get a copy. Of the show. And we'll see. We'll see. I know just the right folks to ask. Because I'll be in Delaware this weekend. So I will be able to inquire directly. But I thought it was wonderful to see African Americans doing business. The folks who owned the buildings was African Americans, and the paper pieces was African Americans, keeping the money in house. So again, like I said, this is network marketing, business identification. That's what we're all about tonight. So if you have a business, you have a business idea, a business plan, or you generally like to discuss our help, come in on our conversation of businesses and how we can continue to do business with each other, then we invite you, because we're opening up all the mics this evening. So if you can hear us, we can certainly will be able to hear you. And if you'd like to join in, just go ahead and interject yourself right on in.
I was gonna say, Brother Bilal, that the farming and main growing season in the country has started, you know, I don't know how many black farmers we have in Delaware or Maryland or wherever, but, you know, the growing season has started, and a lot of these farms, as you say, are going to be having produce that you can buy right on hand, and buying produce from the farm and that, it being in a situation like that, because people live in these big cities and that, they don't have access to the farms as we do in certain locations in this country.
Yeah.
And to be able to have access to those farms and that, we'd like to, you know, go to black farmers, but to the farmers and getting product from there and putting it away for a rainy day, you know, survival. This is something that our people need to take.
Well, you know, I told you, I started canning. I started canning preservatives and all a couple of years ago. And started putting it
in. Yeah, that's what you and Karima got me on to do it this year.
Yes, and I'm telling you, there's nothing like in the wintertime when it's in January and frost is outside, and you got fresh tomatoes that you pick yourself. And now these tomatoes, man, you're talking about delicious. And that's what I'm looking forward to on this weekend while I'm up in Delaware. It's whatever the season is producing, you know, because I know strawberries and stuff like that are coming on, and cucumbers.
Right.
Coming on through about this time. And, yes, you know, you can go to the farm, directly to the farm. And they'll sell you a bushel basket, you know, a whole basket full of stuff. And you're talking about $25-$30. And, you know, you, man, you know, I'm serious here. There's nothing like, see, that's what I mean about owning land.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I don't know why we got away from farming because of sharecropping. You know, the black folks just weren't making any money in this town. Talking about farming and sharecropping, and they wasn't making no money. That's why they migrated to the north, because there wasn't no money
going
there farming. And,
right.
But I'm saying today, what we left is worth a fortune. Especially those African Americans who still live in the South and still have land.
Right, yes.
Their communities don't know it, but their communities should become vested with the farmers. What I mean by that is those who live in the communities, because that farmer might have the land, but he may not have the cash resources to do anything commercial with his farm, because it costs so much money for him to get into the business itself, you know, the equipment and what have you. But if the community would become the asset to the farmer, in other words, we would go to that farmer and say, look, how much money will it take for you to be productive? And the money that it would take, that's the money that the communities would see to it the farmer would get. And that farmer from those days, that money would become productive, grow his crop, pay back the community what it needs to pay back to him, and he can grow and be productive from there. And now you have a productive community because you have one of the essentials that you must have in life, and that is food. So you want to buy food. So why not produce your own food? But you have to have a property in order to do it. You know?
Right.
So now farming is one that we really want to get back. And like I said, if the community needs to become vested with the farmers, it would pay to do so, because the returns of the money that could be made by that farmer. I mean, look at our situation right now. We're in a depression because of food shortages.
Right.
That is not being produced.
Mm-hmm.
So that farmer to me is a very person that if you have the land, then yes, there should be those who would want to invest if you need that type of support. Then it would pay to do so.
Right.
So because again, I know I would, like you said, I would, I look at the monies that we are being ripped off for by these city farmers. And I call them city farmers because they set up a farm, like farmers markets, I suppose you call it. And they set up these farmers markets. I went to a farmers market. You know who I'm talking about over here in Clinton.
Yeah. Right. I know which one you're talking about.
Where the black church is at.
Mm-hmm.
And those white folks back there have, the money they're making off black folks. I went in there and they wanted a watermelon. You know how much money they wanted for it?
$10.
$15.
I said $10 because I thought that was crazy, you know.
$15.
I said something ridiculous, but my gracious.
$15.
And the thing about it is, brother, the thing about it is, I don't care what they say, it ain't watermelon season yet.
No, I know.
And buying some of them watermelons this early, ain't no telling what they get.
I mean, hey, but I'm just saying I can look at the price regardless of what they're getting. And it's 15, I said, my goodness. And I'm saying most of that stuff in there is sold out. And I look around and look at the percentage of all these African-Americans. So it goes to show we're willing to buy produce, but we have to be the ones that own the land so we can present the produce. I guess you have to keep on dealing with what they say is this inflation stuff, because inflation is all about the greed.
Everybody's
taking advantage of situations and saying, okay, it costs you more money because the weather is a little bad. We had a hurricane, tornado, anything they can, or Ukraine. I mean, Ukraine is, wow, we all, you know.
Ukraine thing has got everybody up in the air, you know.
Yeah, but that's what happens when you don't own.
When you first started out today, talking about the businesses and that, you know, seeming like they're picking up, you know, African Americans. Well, I've read up on that, and you'll know that from our community itself too. A number of young African Americans are going into business.
Yes.
And you know, they're venturing on out there, trying to do it for themselves, and like you say, doing all types of things, coming up with sporting goods, health and beauty products, hair products, skin products, like your sister, your wife Karima skincare, and that. African Americans are getting out there, and one of the things that I noticed on this program, Study Al Islam, they're trying to they're going to get and then seeking out African American professionals to register with them, and that's what they're trying to do, and find out who are the people around the country, and have a listing of those people where you can contact them if you want, you know, something similar to the New Africa Business Association of Washington, D.C. And, you know, and our focus is on the community also, the broad community, African-American businesses. This is focuses on Muslim businesses in particular. We're networking African-American businesses, you know, the whole spectrum. That's something that, and that's why we reach out. That's what we, like, as you say, Brother Bob, we've been doing this 7 years now, reaching out to the African-American community. Because we are one, you know, no matter what your preference, your religion, we are one community in terms of we experience the same discrimination, we discriminate the same needs. However, we need to take care of our own needs.
You know, Brother Osley, like I said, the stimulation that I see going on in our communities, and you were just talking about how there's an emphasis on especially young folks going into business. You see, that this type of stimulation is something that I'm willing to ride with. I want to go on the find a way to grow that stimulation. So at this point, New Africa Business Association, and I know from some of the investment bankers that are affiliated with the Black Belt Wall Street, they are being right now very proactive. They're ready to, the same way they built businesses all over Selma, Alabama, and other places that they have built, they have an interest now, and they're ready. I've been informed they're ready to build African-American businesses in many, many places. And one of the places they're looking to, they really want to, are ready to put quite a bit of money in, is right here in Washington, D.C. It's just a matter of where can we put such a business that would be a very productive business. And so, so again, we're at the point now of, well, we're ready to be very proactive with our young folks who are in business. In other words, we made your business idea might be just the idea that we might be interested in investing quite a bit of money in. That's what this network marketing and business identification with our association, Black Belt Wall Street, is all about now. What for 7 years we've been talking about community group investment. Well, it's finally paying off because there's not a lot of us, but there's enough of us as to where collectively we have the buying power that can get a few things done. And we talked about franchising, but after we had a small discussion, we're finding that we don't necessarily want to franchise somebody else's name. We think because we're going into our own communities and uplifting our own communities, we can go in a genetic and don't have to go in under somebody else's name. We'll come in genuine. And so again, simply build a business in the community. And we know here in Washington, D.C., public entertainment is what it's all about. But we don't have a hotel in Washington, D.C. We can only spend monies in hotels. But just think, if we had our own hotel here in Washington, D.C., that's the type of big business. And on not only hotels, but accommodations, social accommodations, restaurants.
Absolutely.
You see, so again, and I think I heard Brother Harrison.
Hey,
Brother Aziz, Brother Bynum. You're talking about is right on point. That you see a huge number of upticks of African Americans searching out other African American entrepreneurs. It is a breath of fresh air. On a daily basis, we get people from all over the country seeking us out for real estate business, for mortgage business. So we tell anyone on this call, if you're in the financial planning business, you own a business, if you need financing, you should be looking Blue Dolphin Capital out to help you get the money you need. If you're in need of any type of real estate, whether it's primary real estate or commercial, you should be seeking out Sam Jin Residential Commercial Realty. We're here to help the community get what they need. We know what your walk is like before you even talk to us. So it's just a beautiful thing to see what is happening. And Brother Bynum is correct. In D.C., we need to have a hotel that is an African-American-owned hotel brand, not a franchise of another company to where we have to pay them millions of dollars just to use their name. We need to have something to where collectively we can come together and create a brand, which we have one that we're building in Selma, but there can always be other brands that can come to market as well. But it's a beautiful thing that's happening. We have clients that have been in the restaurant business for 10, 15, 20 years. They have perfected their recipes. The food is amazing. The one thing that they're missing is the ability to scale their business. So with the intellectual knowledge that we have through the Black Belt Wall Street Association, we can be able to help small businesses become franchise businesses. So it's exciting to see.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is.
I was going to say,
as far as the hotel in Washington, D.C., this is a little history. Next to Howard University, on the same street as Howard University, Georgia Avenue, there was an African-American named Eddie Murphy. And Eddie Murphy, Bilal knows, had a supper club up there at Georgia Avenue, but he also was able to get a building that was right there next to Howard University. And it's a bunch of little stores, concessions right below, a Jamaican restaurant, some other things. But it actually had a hotel there that's closed right now. It's been closed for a number of years. They got two or three floors where the rooms and everything are still the same.
and nothing going on there. It went under, and Howard University, I believe, took it over, and they hadn't been able to use the transformer into anything except for the few businesses that's down below. The whole upstairs and all that, the hotel rooms and all that stuff, still there. Right on the main drag.
Yeah, that I know exactly where that's at, and it's a great opportunity. And when you look at where Howard University is at in D.C. area, what we're seeing a lot of is that in 1968, when the Federal Housing Administration put in this act to give equal adequate housing to African Americans particularly, but it was for all other groups that were marginalized, where we couldn't buy homes and we were redlined or restricted covenants. That policy has affected African Americans' businesses from being able to develop and scale, because redlining is now happening when it comes to commercial business. And there's a concept out that's called digital redlining. What is happening is that the algorithms are built by individuals that have biases. So therefore, when small businesses that are African American in a certain zip code, when they apply for a business loan or for a commercial loan to buy a building, they're automatically denied. So we have to get ahead of this by understanding that we have to work together, because by working together, we can create an ecosystem that would allow us to win. In D.C., there's a bank there called Citibank, C-I-T-Y. It's a commercial bank there in D.C. They specifically bring in new opportunities, new businesses to help get more African-American entrepreneurs the capital that they need. But we need to be very cognizant of what's happening. Digital redlining is real. The Housing Act of 1968 was never fully implemented. So what that means is nothing really was done. So when you look across our communities, whether it be in D.C., Baltimore, New York, Chicago, Atlanta, Detroit, Tampa, Florida, Miami, L.A., Oakland, you still see the same policies that were happening 50, 60 years ago are still happening today, because Malcolm X said it best, don't be bamboozled. You know, don't allow the tricky logic of a law to think that you got a chance now to celebrate that you can do something that you couldn't do, because you're going to wind up getting the same policies.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying as far as business. As far as business, politics is going to have to come with it, but that's going to happen anyway. And so the stronger we are in business and becoming business entrepreneurs and owners, we ourselves as business owners are going to demand the political corruption that's going on, because it's going on because, you see, we don't have any business lobbyists out there lobbying on our behalf. And because of that, all kinds of business deals are done without, of course, without the African-American having anything to do with it, because he wasn't there anyway to represent himself. So the only way you're going to get there and be able to represent yourself in this capitalist society is to be a business owner. Like I said, the day of... like I said, sharecropping is something we had to gradually grow from, and we went from that to migration. Migration, we went and found jobs. And now we're going through all kinds of natural disasters again, as to where human beings are forced more or less to look out for themselves. You know, you go to work for a person, then you don't have any more 401k retirement plans. They'll tell you now, we'll pay you $5 more. Find your own retirement plan. That type of stuff. In other words, you got to look out for yourself. Even when it comes to salaries. Changes. Like I said, I see African Americans coming to the realization that they're not going to go anywhere when it comes to salaries. Matter of fact, most folks who have salaries and with degrees that's going on right then as we speak, you're going to have the middle class not being able to pay their rent. And this is happening as we speak. And it's going to get worse because of greed. And so, again, you can find, you know, and it's already happening. It's not only black folks, the white folks, too, because they only make so much money. When your rent goes from $2,500 a month to $4,500 a month, and it could continue. That's the type of greed. I'm saying my point is, you're going to have a whole lot of folks who are salaries, and if your salary is not high enough, you could find yourself homeless because you simply do not make enough money to go from $2,500 to $35 or $4,500 a month rent. And if you don't own your own properties, this is what you're going to be subject to. My thing is that if someone else can charge you, one of the reasons they can charge you is because you don't own anything.
That's right.
You don't own nothing at all. Brothers and sisters, I mean, why put yourself through this disaster, especially when you see it coming? And you definitely, you can't help but see it coming. But like I said, that's why I'm saying that show that was so successful in that little town, Milford, Delaware, a small town, but African Americans was able to African Americans owned the theater, and the producers went to African Americans and produced the show. Everything was done by African Americans. And so the money that was made in that little small community, something they've never done before. And now they can realize that I put on a professional show. I sold it for a premium because some of the tickets was going for $50 and $75. All of them were sold out. And over 300 or close to 400 tickets were sold. And it was sold out. That's an awakening. That's an idea of what can happen when you do for yourself. I like to see that promotion continue, and whatever we can do to help continue, because I understand they're professionals, but not only their promotion, but when it comes to social entertainment, man, we need to control a lot of that market.
Mm-hmm.
We need to control a lot of that market. Because African Americans are going to spend their money in the things they like to do, and we know what they like to do. So why not go ahead and start being the business producers and start servicing our own community?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and you know, so, Brother Bonham, you know, that's how the wealth is created, is by producing something of value that people are willing to pay for. So when you have a community of producers, you'll be able to insulate yourself against any type of financial crisis or any type of uptick in rents or anything like that, because you're doing business with each other. It's done in every community.
Yeah.
Every community around the world, not just here in America, but when you go to other countries, people are working together for their communities to thrive. And if we as African Americans can take that page, that we have done it before, it's not something that we're not capable of doing, because we've done it, because we were forced to have to do it, but it worked when we did business with each other. You had more African Americans that were going to school, college, that were going to law schools, being professional enterprises, creating really high growth businesses. And if you look around today, you can barely count on one hand African-American firms that were started 40 or 50 years ago that have a national presence. And the reason why we don't have those entities, a lot of the parents either have died off or they sold their business, to where those entities that were what we call keepsake names in our community no longer exist. So it's time for us to rebuild that and refine the way that we've done it in the past for today, so that more of us can have an opportunity to win. Not everybody can be in business for themselves. I understand that. But what's the alternative? At least try. You know, if you can't wind up running a business, then go work for another successful company within the neighborhood so that you can help them grow and help them expand their operations. But you're absolutely right. It's about being productive and producing something. And right now, because of what's happened with the pandemic, it has put African Americans at the forefront of opportunity that we've never seen before. But we have to seize it, and by working together.
You know, Brother Harris.
Yes.
And Brother Harris, and of course the audience, and like I said, anyone who called in, and you see where we can hear you. All the mics are open for anyone who calls in. But, you know, when it comes to Black Wall Street, you know, I remember going back a few years, never heard the word. Today, you've got everybody, I mean, if everybody's got something about, I'm Black Wall Street, I got a big their business beside it. You see, a lot of it, I'm saying, as a matter of fact, the deltas at Delaware State College, Delaware State University, they had a thing over the weekend. And this is some of the same folks who was putting on that show in Delaware. But a lot of it's coming from the college. Uh-huh. And they were saying that they were Black Wall Street, and they are putting together the a network type of marketing thing like we're doing, where you can identify the businesses and blah, blah, blah. And of course, they was inviting folks to, I suppose, the female, because it's a female sorority. And but anyway, I sort of was looking into it because I'm saying this is good, you know. Black, you know, but again, by using that name, Black Wall Street, I knew they wasn't well informed, but still, just saying Black Wall Street, this and that, it's something that we got that name out there spread around pretty popular, but what I'm finding, and my point is this, is that you take a big organization like a Delta, female sorority, they promote business, but they're doing it as a non-profit. And I am saying, a non-profit organization, and so now I know they're doing it through the college again. See, my thing is this. I mean, again, non-profits, where you go through your colleges and you go through your churches and you go through your whoever you're going through, it has nothing to do with business, a community productivity.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing at all. What in the world can the community do going, saying we're non-profit?
Right, like one of the things that with Brother Bynum, with the nonprofit, they do serve a purpose, but what I would say is this, if we can get the Deltas, the Kappas, the Sigmas, all of these sorority groups to make a conscious decision that the largest purchase that most people are going to make in their life is going to be a home, and home financing. Find a local African-American independent-owned mortgage broker and find a local African-American-owned real estate brokerage, not Coldwell Banker, not Century 21, someone that has put themselves out there and started their own brand to serve the community. If we were to get the millions of men and women that are in those sorority groups or those fraternities to make that conscious decision, because 98% of them, they go do business with their local bank that is not going to put the money back into our communities. If they would just make that conscious decision, say, if I'm buying a home or I'm refinancing a home or I'm looking to purchase a home, that they find someone that not an agent that works for one of these real estate companies, someone that owns the company, because we know that if an African-American business owner is being productive within the community, he or she is going to hire other African-Americans within that community, and that's how we're going to get this thing changed around. In addition to those sorority groups, there are CPAs, there are financial planners, there are accountants, attorneys that serve the African-American communities. If they will also make the conscious decision that when it comes to their home and when it comes to the purchase of either a new building or a new investment opportunity, that they seek out African-American independent-owned real estate brokerages and independent-owned mortgage brokerages. That's how we're going to change the game. Because right now we have such a wide gap, and the only way that we're going to be able to catch up is that we have to start doing the things that we can make, not incremental change, but huge, giant leaps. And this is one of the areas that we can make giant leaps in, is making sure that if we are homeowners or business owners and we own land or property, work with someone that comes from the community and that looks like you.
Listen, Cabela Harris, what you just did, if, and see, that's my point. I mean, I guess we, in other words, what I said, that's my point. With what you just said, which is ain't nothing but a fact, but what you also just said, because I am thinking in terms of nonprofit, I don't have the vision. Of, in other words, I don't have the vision of being a profit maker. I'm not even thinking in terms. In other words, I don't even have a business idea. I don't have a business plan. I just, because, again, I'm used to doing what the nonprofit has always said to do. For 100 years, they've been doing it. And the same thing at the church, for 100 years, they've been doing it. But at the same time, and like you said, with all this money that we're producing, we're taking it and putting it right in the same place that we put our church money in and everything else. How do you get a person to start thinking much more productive and realize that this money that you're putting into your charity organization, including your tithes, that money was meant to grow your community. It wasn't meant to grow the church. It was meant to grow the community. And but the same thing with your fraternity. And all of them got their own, I'm from this college, I'm from that college. Rather than all of them coming together, they all, are standing out, in their own independent. So how do you put a stop to that madness?
The only way that we can put a stop to it is not necessarily trying to get people to do something that they should ordinarily do. We just have to start being intentional. We have to be intentional. No matter what field we're in, if you are a financial planner, you should be seeking out an African-American professional in other industries that support what you do. If you're a person that sells produce, you should be seeking out restaurants that are in your community that are African-American-owned that you can do business with. We have to be intentional. If we can get people within our community, ones that are ready, not the ones that we got to convince, if we can just be intentional and start making the change right now. Tomorrow morning, if you have a mortgage and you didn't work with someone that is an African-American mortgage broker, go find one. If you can't find one, you can call somebody like me, and I can refer you somebody in your area. We're not in your area. You know, if you're looking for an attorney to do some legal work for you to set up your will or your trust, we have an attorney right here with the Black Belt Wall Street that can help you get that stuff set up.
That's
we
right.
have CPAs within the Black Belt Wall Street Network that if you need a good CPA for your small business, utilize the people within the network. Let's be intentional.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's what becoming a member of the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Association, that's what becomes a member, because now we know who you are as a professional, as a business owner. That's the benefit of being a member of this organization, is that we are promoting you at all times.
Absolutely.
So we look forward to, well, brothers, let me say this. We had a stimulating conversation here for an hour. We don't have the biggest audience that we sometimes do have. But again, it makes us, you know, it makes us no difference. We're going to go ahead and put out facts as we know them. But like I said, I do feel very good about the business activities that look like it is going on in our community. And we just have to, like Brother Harris, and the good thing about it, we have investors who are real estate investors and what have you that's willing to help with the growth and being a part of the big asset that we all must be. So we don't have to use banks and all of the rip-offs that we would have to go through if we went through banks. So again, that activity is going on, and it grows with memberships. Those who think that know that being vested in your communities, financially vested. And there's nothing that, like I said, we can now buy the entire blocks. So Brother Brother Isley, directors of this, we do what we feel like as professionals we have to do. We can't persuade you, but it's not our job. It's not our ambition to persuade you. We only want to be informative as professionally as we possibly can and be that example.
Right.
So, like I said, we're willing to buy. We're willing to put up our investments, and we ain't doing it because we want to lose money. We're doing it because we almost sure we're going to make money. So, again, this is the New African Business Association. And Brother Harris and Brother Isley, until next week, we're going to go ahead and say good night.
All right.
Okay.
Good night, brothers.
Good night. Good night.
Standing here, looking at you.
Dropped on that call right back, yeah. So,
okay.
Inshallah, you know, we'll talk a little later. And
inshallah.
Yeah, you said you're going to get a hold of Sister Aisha by coming back on the show.
Say it again.
You said you're going to get a hold of Sister Aisha Abdul by coming back on the show.
You can give her a call.
Yes. You know, we need to set up something with Masjid Muhammad. They should be interested, you know.
What you do is call the sister that does a radio show, Study Al-Islam. Let her know.
Okay. I'll get a hold of that.
She knows us real well.
Yeah, I'll get a I think Study Al-Islam got a program on tonight on Wednesdays.
Okay.
I'm going to see. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll check it out.
All right,
bro. We'll talk later, Brother Bilal.
Waalaikumsalam.
Waalaikumsalam. That's Barbara Cutler.